This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Celiac disease, an inherited autoimmune digestive disease, sometimes known as SPRU, has been on the rise. And since 1974 in the United States, the rate of celiac disease has doubled every 15 years. Today, celiac disease affects at least 3 million Americans. But in addition, many more Americans have discovered that they may have a gluten sensitivity. And here with more on this is Diana Stuber, registered dietitian and certified diabetes educator at the Joslin Diabetes Center at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Diana. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So let's begin by explaining a little bit more about what celiac disease is. Tell us more about it.
Well, as you mentioned, celiac disease is an autoimmune condition. And in autoimmune disease, the immune system, our body's own defense mechanism, attacks a part of our body. In celiac disease, it attacks the small intestine. And that can lead to malabsorption or not being able to absorb the nutrition that you eat.
And that's all in response to something called
gluten.
Gluten. And yeah. Tell us what gluten is.
Gluten is a protein that's found in wheat and barley and rye. And those are, especially wheat, is very common in our diet. And gluten triggers that autoimmune response that damages the small intestine.
So anyone who has this celiac disease actually will be, by eating things with gluten, will eventually be causing damage long-term to their small intestine.
That's true.
But in the short term, there are symptoms that we see that go along with this celiac disease. Tell us about those.
Well, some people don't have any symptoms at all. About half of people with celiac disease don't really know they have it, don't have any symptoms. And the symptoms can be, they're not so specific to just celiac disease. They can include abdominal pain, distension, bloating, diarrhea.
Can there also be constipation? I mean, there can be
it can be a vague kind of thing. And sometimes it takes people years before they're actually diagnosed. They may have been going to the doctor for 7 to 11 years.
And are we also seeing this in children as well as in adults these days?
Well, originally it was considered to be just a disease in children. But over the last probably 20 to 30 years, a lot of research has been done, and they've discovered that it can happen at any age. And sometimes people have had it for many, many years, so they've already suffered some of those longer-term consequences, which include things like osteoporosis, which is a quite debilitating thing as we get older.
And the osteoporosis is because they haven't been absorbing what they need, the proper nutrients, as a result of the damage to the small intestine?
Correct.
So it's pretty serious disease, and it sounds to me like it's difficult to diagnose.
It's getting better.
Because the only reason I say that is because it may mimic other disease entities by the description of what you've just, the symptoms that you've described.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. People go to the doctor because they have diarrhea, and it's not the first thing that the doctor will think of. Sometimes when people have no symptoms, it may be something like anemia, which is also related to poor absorption of nutrients. And it can take some time to eliminate other causes for those symptoms.
So bottom line is people really can be asymptomatic and still have this problem?
Yes.
Well, that gets to the key question here then. How do you diagnose it? Or how does one really know if they have it?
Well, certainly if somebody has symptoms, they would talk to their doctor. And if another cause can't be found for those symptoms, then they might be sent to a gastroenterologist. And those are specialists that can help identify what the problem is. Other times, people are tested. It's kind of a screening. So celiac disease is more common when people have other autoimmune conditions.
So they kind of run in clusters.
Yes, yeah. So if somebody has type 1 diabetes, for example, we're now screening for celiac disease on a routine basis.
And others like rheumatoid arthritis, perhaps, or other kind of autoimmune diseases like that.
Yes. Yep.
So how is the diagnosis made?
Well, it's done initially through that screening, which is a blood test, and they look for some autoantibodies. And then if those levels are positive, then people are referred to a gastroenterologist if they haven't been already, and it's confirmed with a biopsy, that's still considered the gold standard. So doing an upper GI series where they, they take a look at the stomach and then they go into the intestine. They take a small sample, several small samples of tissue in the small intestine, and then they look at it under a microscope. And if they can see the damage, then it's a diagnosis of celiac disease.
So those two things, both the blood test and the little biopsy together, make up the diagnosis, and they're pretty definitive at that point.
Yes, they are.
So why are we hearing so much? I mean, I did say in the beginning that we're, there's more and more of this around. First of all, do you have any sense of why that might be?
There are several theories. It could be just that wheat is in so many more foods, but wheat by itself doesn't cause celiac disease. Celiac disease depends on a person's genetic makeup. So that has to be part of it, as well as exposure to gluten. But also, there's this theory of something called the hygiene hypothesis, which is that we're so careful about not exposing ourselves to germs and things that we may have been exposed to hundreds, thousands of years ago that help prepare us to not be confused in that way. Our body, immune system, to not be
so
confused.
So we become more sensitive to things rather than more immune to things, so
yes.
to speak. We don't have
yeah.
the practice. Our body doesn't have the practice basically
exactly.
dealing with these things.
Exactly.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's Health Link on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, and I'm here with registered dietitian Diana Stuber. We're talking about celiac disease, but also gluten sensitivity. So there's all of this stuff, everywhere about gluten-free. You walk down a supermarket aisle, and you just see all these signs. This is gluten-free, and that's gluten-free. So more and more people are concerned about this. Tell us what the difference is between celiac disease, true disease, and gluten sensitivity?
Well, gluten sensitivity or intolerance is actually kind of a spectrum, where celiac disease is at the far end of that spectrum, where there's actual physical damage to the body. Gluten sensitivity may manifest itself in some of the same symptoms. So people can have diarrhea, bloating. They can also they describe it as feeling brain fog, where they're just feeling fatigued, they're not able to concentrate well. But there is no physical damage that's been found to this point.
So if they were to do a biopsy, they wouldn't find any damage to the small intestine.
That's true. And so the diagnosis of gluten sensitivity is really more a diagnosis of exclusion. You look to find any other source for those symptoms, including celiac disease. And if you can't, then a person might try what we call an elimination diet, where they avoid gluten for several months because it can take some time for the gluten, the effects to dissipate, if you will, to go away. So they would eliminate gluten, see how they feel. If they feel better, that's good. If they then reintroduce the gluten and they feel crummy again, then it's worth following a gluten-free diet.
So bottom line is, you're saying there are a lot of these kind of almost, I hate to use this term, but amorphous kind of symptoms or hard to pin down symptoms, like you said, this brain fog, or even things I've read, things like anxiety, depression, mood swings, even ADD, they've said, could be in part a response to some degree of gluten sensitivity. I guess it's hard to prove. But as a result, more and more people are deciding to take that path, which is the treatment of choice, I guess, for either celiac or gluten sensitivity, is basically eliminate gluten from their diet.
That's
but how
right.
hard is that to do these days with it? As you've just alluded to, it seems to be everywhere.
It's getting easier. It is difficult, and there's a lot of good information online, but things that are online can become outdated. The federal government just passed a new labeling law where there are rules now for what is considered gluten-free. So if a company says their product is gluten-free, they have to be able to show that they've tested that food and that it has less than 20 parts per million of gluten.
So it's verifiable.
Yes.
And that does include, obviously, where it's being produced, in a factory it's been produced in, and all of those kinds of things. They really
Correct.
Have to be, they're held to a standard these days.
Yes.
And in your experience, well, first let me ask you this. Do you think people need professional help in terms of arriving at a nutritionally balanced gluten-free diet?
I think that to optimize, you know, the nutritional value, that a dietitian is very important. There are a lot of gluten-free foods available. Some of them, for example, some of the bread products are not fortified with iron and B vitamins like they are with the wheat products. So people can miss out on nutrients if they're not careful. And if it's, I think, recommended to visit with a dietitian.
So if you should consider yourself gluten sensitive, or if your doctor agrees that you may be gluten sensitive, or an appointment with a registered dietitian is always a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. I think one of our problems these days is that your insurance may not pay for that.
Okay, well, obviously those are the things people have to work on or work out individually, but clearly it's not a bad idea. Anyway, is it an overwhelming task to try to figure out what is gluten-free in the environment, or now with all the labeling, you think it's a lot easier?
I think it's a lot easier than it used to be.
Go ahead.
So people do still have to be, I think the challenge is not so much at the grocery store as I think it is when you're eating out, when you're eating at a friend's house, those kind of things. And so, again, working with a dietitian can help you develop some strategies for figuring out what to do in those situations.
Yeah, it might not be so apparent, as you said, in prepared foods or in circumstances like where you have less control, to really know what is, where the gluten is, and especially, as you said, it's now in many products that we wouldn't expect to find it in.
That's right.
So it's very interesting that we have it on the rise. It's very interesting that people are becoming more aware of it, and hopefully more and more people will find that by following a gluten-free diet, perhaps they can eliminate these symptoms. But the bottom line is, if you have gluten sensitivity, you will not necessarily suffer the long-term consequences.
Nope. That happens only with celiac disease.
Very good. Well, thanks. That really clarified it for me. I appreciate your coming in. My guest has been Diana Stuber, registered dietitian and certified diabetes educator at Upstate's Joslin Diabetes Center.